Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I have this weird belief that everybody on the planet should go to church on Sunday or over the weekend. Just that everybody, 7 billion people, can you imagine that, turning up at somewhere in church around the world? Well, we would need an amazing amount of pastors, worship leaders, singers, song leaders, and I think we should train for a future that looks a little bit like that. Today, I want to share around that visionary statement and spirit that we're in. I want to talk out some of the shaping scriptures, if you like, of our culture here in our congregations all around the city, in our movement all around the world, around this nation. What has shaped the direction that we've taken right from day one? I felt the burden of this scripture in Matthew 16 and verse 17. It just percolated deep within my soul that this was what we were meant to be doing. And it begins with Jesus answered and said to him, he's talking to Simon Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." That was a formative, shaping, pivotal, preeminent scripture that we shaped everything we did from then on around. It wasn't the Lord saying to us, "I'm going to build a social action group. I'm going to build an evangelistic group. I'm going to build a care group. I'm going to build." He said, "I will build my church." And actually, interestingly, he never says anything else in the Bible about building any other thing. This is the only thing he said, "I will build the church." So we felt that aligning with that prophetic input and that sense of the will of God that was clear as a bell in scripture, that that's what we would do. We would build the church. And then he began to also speak very clearly upon which that was built. He said, this is what it will be built on. This will be the taproot, the foundation, the reason, the living stone that it thrives on. And that was the revelation of who Jesus was, and then the revelation of who he was. That was Peter at that time. So the Lord had said to all of his disciples, "Who do you think I am?" And they mumbled and they fumbled and they kind of stumbled. Wow. They got through all those words. But anyway, they couldn't figure out who Jesus was. They were trying to think with their mind. But then suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon Simon and he saw Jesus as he really was. He says, "Wow, it's God. He's 3 foot away with me and it's God with skin on. He's just there." And he said, "You're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon," which means hearing, able to hear. "Bar means son of, Jonah means dove, son of the dove. For flesh and blood," your brain did not reveal that to you, "but my Father who is in heaven," it's a revelation. It's something that's hidden from natural minds, but it is revealed when the Holy Spirit enlightens that mind. And everybody on earth is destined, predestined to be born twice. They get that revelation when we preach the word of God and people are in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to make that opportunity for every single person on earth, whether it's through television, whether it's through podcasts, whatever way, that revelation can come to their mind so that every single one of us know Christ is the Son of God. Before that, we argue about it, we're doubtful, we're atheists, we're agnostic, we're whatever, we're lost, we can't get it. You don't get it until he gives it to you. And when he gives it to you, you get it. He's Christ. But then Jesus turns around and he says, "Now let me tell you who you are." So he's told him who he is. "You're Jesus, you're Christ, the Son of God." Okay, Peter, continuing the revelation from God himself, "I'm going to reveal to you who you really are. because you're lost to who you really are as long as you're in that natural thinking. So he says, you are Peter. In one sentence, he changes that man's name. That's how radical the transformation is. That Jesus comes into our world, and with one encounter, we are so changed that you could describe us by another name. You could say, you were this, but now you're that, completely different. He says, you are Peter, and upon this rock, I will build my church. He's not referring to Peter. He's referring to the rock of Revelation. And so often the church has not been built and does not grow and does not expand around the world because we neither are clear about who Jesus is, but most of us have a pretty clear idea about that. But certainly we lose the idea of who we are in Christ. And it's on this rock that Jesus says, I will build my church. And so on today, I am committing to a year ahead of unpackaging a lot of that teaching throughout our year so that we really get to understand who Christ is in us and who we are in Christ. And on that revelation, I believe that we will see the most progressive, rapidly accelerating church growth that we have ever seen, whether in this church, whether in our congregations, all around the city. We're going to see many thousands of people start turning to the Lord. The reason we are starting campuses is because even though it's a lot more work, it's a lot more challenging, we know that the planting of new congregations causes the most rapid growth. It also activates the gifts and the callings in so many believers. It also makes us more accessible because people don't have to drive so far. They don't have to go through all the check-in and thing with children and whatever to such a degree, even though it's amazingly easy here and a wonderful experience. I believe that we can reach this city at a far higher level and reach out to numbers that are in there, tens of thousands all around the city of Sydney. We're nearly a city of 5 million people. We cannot afford to think small. If we were seeing 1,000 people saved every week, it would take us 80 years to reach a city of 4 million. We have got to be thinking of 10,000 people a week pouring into the kingdom of God. I want you to capture a vision of thousands upon thousands of people reaching out to Jesus. That means that we become a church that is open-armed and embracing of many thousands of new people that we've never met before. Not just staying locked up in our little cliques with one another that we know and we're familiar with and we feel safe in. Come on, take a step out and reach out to somebody and take them out for lunch, somebody you've never met. Reach out to people that you've never even met before in church and just be embracing and let the love of God flow amongst our congregations. I believe in a world of hate and fear, we need to have churches that are filled with love and faith and the boldness of Christ coming through every one of us in Jesus' name. Now, here's the thing. That word church that Jesus used is a unique word. Some people call it ecclesia, and some churches are named that. It's a Greek word, and it means called out ones. It's referring to when the Roman Empire was in Jesus' day, they had conquered that particular part of the world. But they were conquering many parts of the world, and the boundaries were ever increasing. And the only way to defend and keep advancing the boundaries was through the military, and they had to pay them. And so the Romans were different to most other conquering nations. They wouldn't wipe out and plunder the locals. They would actually leave it intact. So you'd have all the commercial businesses, you'd have all the local politics, even the local religions were all just left intact, but they'd have an occupying army to keep the military presence and the dominant power, Rome, in place. Plus to back up the tax collectors so that anybody knew that if they didn't pay their taxes, they had to answer to the military. And the taxes were always being invented, new ones and bigger ones. And so people like Zacchaeus were hated because it was as though he had been sold out to the Roman Empire against his own countrymen to take taxes off them. And so when Rome had an edict to be spoken to its own people, Roman citizens. See, Palestinians around there weren't Roman citizens unless they'd been born a Roman or had somehow managed to purchase it. And that was the same all through the world that was conquered by Rome. The local conquered people were not part of the Roman citizenship. But those who were needed to come together. And so whenever Rome wanted to say something, into town would come the herald and they'd have a trumpet blown and all of the Romans would be called out of the community to gather together and to hear what Rome was saying and to decide on the future of that area, to vote and to have discussions about how things should be in that area. Now, Jesus took that picture and he said, I will build my ecclesia. So when I come to town and I blow my trumpet, you all gather together. And as you pray, you determine the destiny and you dictate that what is going to happen spiritually for that town and for that city and for that nation, simply by being my church, which is my place of residence where I come to earth and dwell amongst you. I will build that church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Meaning that, and often you will hear people say, I'm under attack. People, you got to reverse that thinking. Jesus says, no, it doesn't look like that. It's like the gates of hell can't hold back on an advancing, ever-increasing church. Hell says, we're under attack. It's not the church that you say we're under attack. We should be somehow, we're not even hearing it, but down in hell is saying, we're under attack. That church is getting on fire. They're praying. They're dictating. They're calling things into being that we never even dreamed of and we're trying to shut down. There are many gates of hell on earth where hellish things come into people's lives. And, you know, they're open up in all sorts of hours of the day, most in the dark. But, you know, in Genesis, when Jacob goes to sleep and he sees a stairway to heaven, he says, this is the gate of heaven. So even though there are gates of hell on earth that Jesus refers to, this here is the gate of heaven. And this is where God enters earth through his gate. And this is where we enter heaven through that staircase, which is none other than Jesus. And we are able to actually present a gate here against which hell has no power. And you and I need to understand that that is the original intention that God had about his people. Read this passage in Ephesians 1:23 by the Message Bible. The church you see is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. So whether we're in Penrith, Cronulla, whether we're in Roselle, in the city campus, or in Oxford Falls, or Silverwater, all of us together in this congregation, spread out in various rooms, but under one roof around the city, we are not meant to be peripheral to the world. Just being some voice that is easily dismissed because there are a lot of uninfluential, unsuccessful, dismal, second-rate human beings, which sometimes the church feels like that's what it is. No, the church is meant to be that crowd that have really got their act together, that crowd that really know what to do in a crisis, that crowd that are full of the love of God and have faith about the future, who are not overwhelmed by circumstances, who reach out all around the community and bring answers and are part of the solution, not part of the problem. You and I to be not peripheral to the world, but the world peripheral to us, need to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Another passage that has shaped us over the years is Isaiah 54. And it says, sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. And that's part of the reason we worship. I mean, that worship this morning, I'm sure it was at all our campuses, just genius, just brilliant. And when we sang that song, Bless the Lord, and feeling the power, I get tingles, you know. I've been doing this for a long time, 45 years, and I still get excited when I'm in worship. I should be sick of it by now, but I'm not. That's right. It's like it gets better. I'm so thankful to God that you came this morning and you helped me worship. And I'm so thankful for this band and all the work that the pastors put in to keep us walking on our feet. And get us to where we're meant to be going. And then we come together as the mighty church with all that power of God invested in us. He says, this is the beginning of how we will have more children being born out of the church than out of the desolate. And it's a cry, it's a song of faith, because we got to sing like we've already gotten to our vision's goal. Number two, verse two says, enlarge the place of your tent. If we didn't keep attempting to enlarge, people, we would be disobedient to what God had told us to do. And we need to keep enlarging. I was talking to Simon McIntyre in London this morning. We're talking about some of the things in the movement around the world. It's an astonishing thing that what has come out of our congregations here in Sydney, it is absolutely astonishing. Pastor Kong, he was here at our leaders meeting. What an awesome night that was during the week. And he then went up to our church in Kiwana Waters with John Pierce. He's also out down with Andrew Gray in Mount Annan. And he's also with, I think, Anthony Shalala last Sunday night, and then with another, I think. And he goes, wow, I feel so, he said, I came pretty tired, but I'm feeling blessed and refreshed. And so after seeing all what's going on, now that's just three churches I've mentioned. One, two, three. There's 350 that have, it's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all around the world. Now, I would like to put another zero on the end of what we've got right now and think, God, if you've done this with this, please, this doesn't amount to much. But if he can do that with this, imagine what he can do with you. With somebody who's really good and somebody who's really got their act together. If he can pick up you and I, and the astonishing amount of things that he could accomplish through all of us as we say, I want to get bigger. I want to give bigger. I want to be a bigger thinker than I've been before. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. That means permission giving. Allow people to do their thing and their gifting and their calling, and let them stretch out. Let them release pastors and release singers and release worship directors and release deacons and people who serve in the house of God. Do not spare. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords, because you're going to find that as things get bigger, we might only get to talk every 6 years. If that, I met somebody the other day. I said, are you new here? They said, no, I've been coming for 6 years. I kind of go, oh, wonderful. God bless you. So nice to see you. We finally meet. And that's good. There wasn't any bad attitude or anything. It's having a long cord. We can survive with distant relationships. You know, we don't have to be in each other's face all day long. And strengthen your commitment. Deepen the stakes in the ground. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. That is why we originally called ourselves Christian City Church, because we felt God was calling us to plant churches in cities, which we did. But then just to make it less of a jumbly mouthful, we brought it down to C3, which is kind of simpler and easy. And that might explain something for a lot of you. What is C3? Is it about looking at the Trinity, or, you know, like, yeah. No. It just was once upon a time Christian City Church, and we're always getting called Christian City or City Church or, you know, the Triple C, and C3 was the one that was the most common. So that's how that came into being. And the fact is that we are definitely going to keep ourselves expanding and enlarging. We are not going backwards, people. We are going forwards. We're not getting smaller. We are getting bigger. We are not going less high. We're going higher. We're going further. We're not going less further in the distant future. You and I, as long as I got breath in me, my people, we will be enlarging in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. My people, my friends, amen. All right. Now, here's the thing. Jesus very clearly stated, I will dwell in that church that I'm building. And that's really, really cool. And there's an abundance of passages about that. But I want to just to come down another level to a finer point, because on our own out there, we're not the church. You can't say I'm the church out here. You are a temple of God. You're a mobile God unit. walking around wherever you go. And when all those, we come together as living stones, we are a corporate temple, the house of God. But just your personal life and position in Christ, we have talked about this several times with the Born Identity message, the who I am in Christ. And I think inside the human psyche, the created God image on the inside of us, there's this feeling that we need to be clothed with something that maximizes our potential. And without that clothing, we're living a lesser life than we could be. And I think it began way back in the Garden of Eden, where God clothed Adam and Eve with animal skins, which means an animal died, which is easily to arrive at the conclusion an animal was sacrificed for their sin so they could continue communion with God. And that was the practice from then on, all the way up till Christ died for us, that an animal would bear the sin and a death would be made on your behalf, because that's the price of sin. And so that was how it went. But you got clothed with the skin of the sacrifice. So from that ancient prediction and picture, we come into the New Testament. Jesus dies for us as our lamb, and we are clothed with Christ and his righteousness. So that feeling is inside humanity. And the reason I think that is because there are so many superhero movies. Like, as soon as they jump into a telephone box and put on a cape, they can fly. They can do things that they couldn't do ordinarily. As soon as they put on a Batman suit, they're Batman. Then some guy puts on another suit, he's Spider-Man, Sandman, Avatar. Then there's Iron Man, bullets pinging off his iron suit. You know, we are clothed with this Teflon coating of Christ, and suddenly we are empowered to live at another level. Superman, Batman, clergyman. It's like, whew, had to get that in. But I want to flip that in these last few, last 10 minutes or so of this message, to around to the idea of not just me in Christ, but Christ in me. Because that is the original design that God had for you and I, to be indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you come with me down to John 14, 23, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." That's Jesus and the Father. And then in the letters of Paul and book of Acts, you see that they're filled with the Holy Spirit too. I don't know where they all fit, but somehow God says, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're going to make our abode inside you, in your temple. And I would suggest to you that most believers really have not got an aha moment on that, to realize that I am indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There it is in Scripture. For us to possess that and understand that certainly unleashes a whole new level of opportunity and possibility. I mean, I cannot see Adam walking around the Garden of Eden like you and I walk around the bathroom, you know? I mean, or however we get around. I can't even see him like us. I kind of see Adam as this magnificent human being, that the first of creation, maybe 7.5 feet tall, just glowing, a mind that has got direct, uninterrupted access to the mind of God, knowing the things that God knows. He'd be able to engineer like God has engineered a universe. He'd have interplanetary travel figured out in a week. He'd understand the deepest of mathematical equations in a flash, faster than any computer on planet Earth. His mental ability, his capacity to see at all sorts of dimensions and realms, to hear at all sorts of dimensions, his multitask ability, all of these things. And to walk with God, he and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and to be able to move things with a word. Because Jesus said, you can move mountains with the voice, and the part of the curse is now you're going to have to dig them out and do it in the sweat of your brow. How did they do it before? Well, Jesus recovered a lot of that. He said, commanded waves and oceans. He dominated and ruled in life. And he says, I want you to be like me. I'm trying to get you to be conformed to the image of the Son. And so God is wanting to recover what Adam lost. But when Adam did what he was not meant to do, bang, it all shut down. Just fell out of the presence of God, walking cold, fearful, naked. Not with that same level that he had at one stage. God says, I'm going to recover that. No, I'm not just going to recover. I'm going to make it better. I'm going to send my Son and not just get them to walk on the earth. I'm going to get them to walk in my heaven. I'm not just going to have sit down with them there. I'm going to have them seated at the right hand of my throne in eternity forever. I'm going to do better through redemption than we ever did through creation. And so we got to understand that we are that temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God? So it's kind of a thing that Paul is saying, I realize you don't understand this, so I've got to let you know, you're the temple of God on the earth and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Romans 8:10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And then in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13, I wanted to bring a few scriptures to you just to so you understand what we're talking about, and you can take them away out there at Penrith or in the city or Roselle, Cronulla, Silverwater. I want you to get a hold of this with all your heart to understand of who we are in Christ, because Jesus says, this is what I am building my church on. And I believe that if we can get this year, that we will see, as I said before, the most accelerated building of the Church of Jesus Christ that we've ever seen. Once you get aligned, I can always get that picture of Luke Skywalker in Star Wars. I know you do too, but you know, I'm just gonna tell you about it. He's the last guy to fly in and drop the thing, and he's trying to do it by looking through the glass, and then this voice comes to him, trust the Force, Luke. So he puts away the glasses and he starts to feel it. And then boom, he hits jackpot straight away. And sometimes we're trying to figure out our life with all that. I'm not gonna say trust the Force, but trust God, man. Put your life in his hand and you'll find, you'll feel and know things that you can do. And you've got skills that way exceed anything that you've had before to take the church into its most glorious hour that we've ever seen. And so this script passage in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 13 says, food's for the stomach and stomach for the foods. Weird scripture, I know. But God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. So what he's saying is that your stomach is only meant to have food in it. It's not like I can put this pulpit in it. Or I'm meant to, you know, put this phone down in there. It's only meant for food. The only thing it's meant for that stomach is food. And the only thing food is meant for is for that stomach. Food is not meant, you're not meant to get a cabbage and try and wash your windows with it. You don't take a piece of meat and use it as a doormat. Well, it's like, you know, I mean, it's for your stomach. So he's just said, in exactly the same way, your body is not for anything else but for the Lord. And the Lord is not for anything else but for your body. What an unbelievable connection that God wanted us to be walking with this super connection to Christ and God in heaven so that we would have the mind of God, the mind of Christ in us. And as I read these passages, it's like, I don't know if you ever read the Bible, you think, I've never even seen this before. Where was that scripture all along? I've read that 100 times. And suddenly the Lord brings it alive to you and you say, we have the mind of Christ. And I know if I was to climb into anybody's head here, that'd be a doubtful experience that, yeah, that's the mind of Christ, but it's like that's how truth always is. It's very different to our current reality. And as we simply believe what Scripture is saying, we'll find ourselves inching towards that reality manifesting in our lives. Now, here's the thing, as I just come to a close, the Bible says in 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. Christ is not worried. He's not sitting at the throne of God worried about a flu epidemic coming through the angels or something, or SARS. He's not worried about his kids messing up. God is calm. He's not harassed by demons saying, oh, I'm tempted. You know, it's like, I mean, he's untouched. As he is, so are you in this world. Something that is easy to forget and can seem way out of reach, but friends, at least walk a little bit towards that, not away from that. Oh, that's not me. As he is, so are you in this world. Instead of being overwhelmed by your circumstances, start to stand on the bow of that boat and talk to the storm. Resume a little bit of what Adam had, and you've got a whole lot more than that. You've got Christ, the final Adam, if you like, on the inside of you. The Bible says in Romans 8 that all of creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, all through our life, we had the life of Adam manifesting in our body, in sin and sickness and all kinds of ways. When you meet Christ, from then on, the life of Christ is meant to be manifesting in our body, in healing and life and strength. But not only that, the whole of creation have a groan on the inside of them. They don't realize they're groaning for God. And they only realize that, we all only realize that when we meet him. But it's a holy responsibility we have right around the city, all our campuses, to begin manifesting Jesus Christ in the world. Everybody is aching for somebody to stand up with solid, powerful answers and to bring the divine life of heaven into earth itself. I want to pray for you right now that that'll be a reality in your lives in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I'm praying that here in Silverwater, in Cronulla, in Roselle, in the city campus, in Penrith, that all throughout our city, we will see a growth manifestation at a spiritual level and an ensuing corporate actual campus growth level. And I have no doubt, Heavenly Father, that you're about to take a hold of every one of our people in the house of God and dial up that level of the manifestation of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, here now for our beautiful city with all my heart, Lord, that you'd help us be part of your vision, Sydney, a city for Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a clap offering, would you? Thank you, Lord. Woo. Fantastic.
C3 Church is a vibrant, contemporary community of people who want to know Jesus more and be equipped to live their best life. We have over 300 churches around the world waiting to welcome you. So find your nearest C3 at c3churchglobal.com.
C3 College is a creative arts and Bible college based at C3 Church, Oxford Falls, on the northern beaches of Sydney, Australia. Wherever you're at in life, we're confident that our creative arts, leadership and ministry, or online stream will equip you for your calling. Jump online to c3college.com to find out more. C3 College, for creatives, for leaders, for believers.
Thanks for listening. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions that you have made and the great things that God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.